Teddy already missed.
You're gonna make me lonesome when you go.
I want every delegate at this convention to understand that as long as I'm a vote, and as long as I have a voice in the United States Senate,
you're gonna make me lonesome when you go.
The Democrats have a little problem now that Teddy Kennedy is gone.
It's going to be for that Democratic platform plank that provides decent quality health care, North and South, East and West, for all Americans. As a matter of fact,
you're gonna make me wonder what I'm doing, staying far behind without you. You're gonna make me wonder what I'm saying. You're gonna make me give myself a good talking to.
Democrats are giving themselves a good talking to about where to go next in the healthcare debate. Substance, symbolism, and good old Washington gridlock.
You're gonna make me lonesome when you go.
Don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. Thursday, August 27th, 2009. I'm John Huckenberry here with Femi Okay. Good morning, Femi.
Hello there, John. Good morning, everybody. Coming up this hour, lawmakers mourn the death of the lion of the Senate. We'll be tracking the economy with the latest GDP numbers. And is work stress and making you sick? We'll find out more coming up this hour.
But first, John Costin up there in Kennebunk, Maine. Whether Teddy Kennedy is alive or dead, as a small business owner, you still have the same health care problems in your venture, right?
We still have the same problem, which is that we can't afford health insurance for myself or my employees.
And what you need to hear in that healthcare debate we're going to talk about in just a moment. Stay with us, John, up there in Kennebunk, Maine. We'll be back with you in a moment. First, everything you need to know this morning. Femi?
In the headlines today and tomorrow, Ted Kennedy will lie in repose at the Kennedy Presidential Library in Boston. President Obama speaks at a private funeral mass for Kennedy in Boston on Saturday, and Kennedy will be buried that evening near his brothers at Arlington National Cemetery. Talk of filling his Senate seat has already started. Massachusetts Democratic Governor Deval Patrick says that he supports changing state law to let him appoint an interim successor. Kennedy suggested this move in a recent letter. He wanted somebody to represent the state until voters elect another senator in a special election. The Centers for Disease Control doesn't agree with a White House panel on its scenario for H1N1 or swine flu deaths this fall. The presidential panel advisers say that up to 90,000 people could die, but the CDC says that's not likely, but it's still expecting a busy flu season.
Confusing fear on H1N1. Overseas, a U.S. service member is dead after a militant attack in southern Afghanistan today. August is now tied with last month as the deadliest of the war there. Two big economic reports out this morning. We'll get the latest figures for GDP and then look at the job market with the report on new claims for unemployment benefits. Wall Street was flat yesterday. The Dow opens today at 95.44, the S&P at 10.28, and the Nasdaq begins trading at 20.24. We've been talking to perhaps the most important advocates in the healthcare debate, young people, about their decision, even though they're healthy, to get insurance. We've been getting some great responses at 8778-MYTAKE. We want to hear more from you. Please contact us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. John Huckenberry here with Femi Okay.
Good morning.
The emotional symbolism of the passing of Teddy Kennedy,
right,
which we learned early yesterday morning, is undeniable. Here's President Obama speaking from his vacation spot in Martha's Vineyard yesterday morning.
Over the past several years, I've had the honor to call Teddy a colleague, a counselor, and a friend. And even though we have known this day was coming for some time now, we awaited it with no small amount of dread.
There's also a certain amount of dread associated with the departure of Teddy Kennedy regarding the health care debate in Washington and around the nation. And as we mentioned a moment ago, small businessmen like John Costin, who we're going to actually continue talking with in just a moment, their health care issues remain regardless of whether Teddy Kennedy is here as a tireless advocate for health care reform or not. But how does this affect the debate in Washington? A quick update now from Julie Mason, White House correspondent for the Washington Examiner. She joins us from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, John.
You know, we had some glimpses yesterday that this was going to mobilize Democrats to maybe get more serious about health care reform. But we also had some glimpses that, in a sense, maybe there's relief among some, either in the Democratic Party or in the conservative wings of the GOP, that this is a chance to lay to rest the progressive agenda on health care. What do you think's going on?
Well, this was definitely Kennedy's signature issue. He really wanted to get this done. And sure, there's going to be a push to name the bill for him, sort of wrap up health care reform in the Kennedy brand and trying to get it through. That's not going to happen. I mean, there's going to be a few days of somber mourning here in Washington, D.C., and then it's going to revert right back to the debate we were having a week ago.
And the naming of the bill issue, it seems to me, is a double-edged sword. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. I mean, Everyone remembers how the Humphrey-Hawkins Full Employment Act actually gave us all jobs. You know, naming a bill doesn't necessarily do anything, right?
No, and it certainly doesn't bring moderate Democrats and Republicans on board with health care reform at all.
Is this more of an issue, before we go, for the Democrats in the sense that they really do have to get something done, compromise, bipartisanship or not?
Yeah, and you know, he was really a guy to do it. He was a guy to get everyone in a room and start working and put aside all that partisan stuff. And he's gone, and so Obama has really lost a rabbi on this issue. So it's a big setback for the Democrats if they really are serious about getting something done.
But within all the eulogies and the statements over the next few days, we'll probably be able to read some tea leaves about where the debate is actually going. And the Democrats are going to have to accomplish this without Teddy Kennedy there. In the debate itself. Julie Mason,
indeed.
Thanks so much. White House correspondent for the Washington Examiner, trying to figure out where the health care debate goes following the passing of Teddy Kennedy.
Never been so easy or so slow. Been shooting in the dark too long. When something's not right, it's wrong. You're gonna make me lonesome.
So we've been following the healthcare debate very closely on this show, and there are a couple of very crucial decision points. Individual consumers deciding to get insured, right, John?
Right. Lots of them young people who are healthy, who actually don't necessarily even have to do it.
Doctors deciding on treatments based on whether a patient is covered or not.
That's pretty crucial.
And perhaps most critical of all, employers trying to figure out if their businesses can actually afford to provide insurance to their workers. So this week we've talked to people grappling with the first two tough decisions. Today a look at small business owners. Now they employ about half of all American workers, but only 62% of small business employers actually provide a healthcare benefit. And three people joining us this morning for whom healthcare is literally a make or break decision for their businesses. John Causton lives in Kennebunk, Maine. Welcome back, John.
Thank you.
Dan Sherry, good morning to you from Barrington, Illinois.
Good morning.
And Rashonda Young joins us from Waterloo, Iowa. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
First of all, I'm going to go around our round table. Healthcare, is it make or break for you, Rashonda?
It is.
Tell me why.
Well, first, we've got 34 employees, and we have families, and when we had initially received quotes about our health plan, we figured it was going to be about $241 on average for an individual, $580 for a family. When our final quotes came back, it ended up being about $414 per month for an individual, close to $1,000 for a family. In order to really attract competitive people to our business to help us to grow, we need something that's affordable, and almost $1,000 a month for a family isn't affordable for us, nor is it affordable for our employees.
Dan, you have fewer employees than Rashonda. You have just 8 employees, but is healthcare make or break for you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's not just for me, it's for America. I'm sorry to correct you, but the 62% of small businesses offering healthcare has decreased. It's less than 50% now.
Really?
And it's continuing to go down. Employers are forced daily to make these decisions. Do we shift the cost to our employees? Do we reduce coverage, or do we just drop coverage? And that's happening. People who say they're happy with their coverage now have to realize that it's going away. We can't keep going in this path. And I can't even offer it for my own employees. So, I mean, I am absolutely at a disadvantage. When I run an ad to hire someone, if I have 100 resumes in return, I'll throw out 80 of them, because when they say, do you offer health insurance, and I say no, it's a deal breaker. And in a society where people expect their employer to provide health insurance, that's where they go to get it, and you can't offer it. Trust me, that expression, it's hard to find good help, that's my life.
John Causton, you're in Kennebunk, Maine. You own a veneer services, and your company's called Veneer Services Unlimited, and you provide veneer work for the woodworking industry. You have just two employees, so easy, right? Healthcare can't possibly be make or break for you.
Well, it isn't right now, but it's going to be. I mean, I hear Rashonda's story, and I say congratulations, Rashonda, to have grown to that size, and Dan as well. We're at the start point that I imagine you both were at one point. Including myself, there are three people working here. I'd like to expand, but just as both of the other business owners mentioned, to attract the best candidates, you really have to offer people the possibility of a career and the possibility of growing with your business. Training for what we do takes quite a long time. It takes several years to really get someone up to speed, and I think that people want to know when they're making that kind of investment in your business of their time and their energy that it's something they can stick with, that they have the possibility of having a family, that if, you know, heaven forbid, they should have to see a doctor, they might be able to afford to do that. So this is really coming in right up on the radar screen for us.
So let me just back up a second. So Dan and Rashonda say that it affects your ability to get decent employees, not the ability to offer health care. But you're saying, John, that it's an impediment on expansion if you have to consider health care, that you really can't expand fast enough because health care is such an impediment to growth.
I'm saying the high cost of health insurance is an impediment to growth for small businesses.
You know, Dan, let me ask you one question. Sometimes a really bad problem employee can mess up your health care costs as an employer. Do you have one of those kind of problems?
I would if I was offering health care. It's the unfortunate thing for small business owners. Our group is our employees. If you get a half a dozen and all of a sudden someone has a serious problem, your rates just go through the roof.
Well, who's the serious problem employee in a healthcare category in your business?
My assistant manager. She's got serious medical problems. I have another employee actually who is seriously considering filing bankruptcy because I can't offer health insurance. She had an incident a few years ago, and the only debt she has she carries is a hospital bill, and they just took her to court, and now they're telling me I have to impound her wages. And we're looking at her filing bankruptcy. It happens. It's a tragedy in America.
John, you're the smallest out of all of our small businesses. You just got a couple of employees. What are you looking to get out of healthcare reform so that you can actually get bigger, stronger, make more money?
We need to have affordable healthcare in this country. We need to be able to provide that backstop for myself and my employees that's not going to break the bank. At current rates, we cannot afford insurance, and we really can't afford to have unhealthy employees.
Okay, so John Custin, for you, the takeaway is a federal subsidy to allow you to expand and to offer health care. Dan, what would be the takeaway for you? What do you need to hear out of Washington?
I'm not interested in a federal subsidy, frankly. That's taking the tax dollars, giving it back to us so that we can spend it on private insurance and line the pockets of the private insurance industry. I need a public option.
Public option.
That's going to bend the cost curve so we reduce costs. I need access, but I need a lower cost. And if the government giving me the money to make it affordable isn't going to lower costs.
Dan Sherry, thank you very much. He was calling us from Barrington, Illinois. John Causton from Veneer Services Unlimited from Kennebunk, Maine. And Rashonda Young.
Well, wait, we can get it. Look, Rashonda, what do you need from Washington quickly before we go?
I need affordable health insurance coverage.
A public option?
A public option.
Public
Absolutely.
Option. It's two
and
votes for a public option.
And Rashonda Young, she got the last word in there. Thank you to our small business roundtable. And if you think you need health insurance or don't need health insurance and you're a young person, you're fit and healthy, 1-877-8-MY-TAKE, mytake at thetakeaway.org.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253.
You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.